I am really discouraged by the fact that Texas has just taken away the blue laws. Why? Because God's laws are for all mankind, whether they believe in Him or not, and they disobey those at their own expense. I don't think that it is my role as a Christian to try to coerce men apart from their will to obey all of God's laws, although some I do. And yet, it shows that in this state that it is now formally recognized that money is more important than God, and nothing can get in the way of money. In the same way, I'm disturbed that the Supreme Court of the United States this year said that no longer, under the laws of the United States, is a worker entitled to have his Sabbath, his day of rest, because the government agrees with the state of Texas that the God of this country is not the God of the Bible, but it is money. And nothing can get in the way the ability of a company to make money. But we do that at our own expense. Whenever you take God's rules out of creation or change God's rules of creation, then humanity loses. You lower God, man pays. Look at the effect of the law of abortion. You don't believe that. So money has become the God of mankind. Mankind has no time for God or for rest. God has written rest as a law of nature. But it has more meaning to that. It has a special meaning for His people Israel. What was its meaning for the people of Israel? First of all, it was to be a special symbol of the covenant, the old covenant between man and God. Look again at Exodus chapter 31, verse 16. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath, to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generation as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. It was part of Israel's covenant with God. But secondly, for Israel, you look over at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. It was a day that was carved out to remember something special in their history. Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Every Sabbath, the Jew was to think back on this picture of salvation. I was a slave. God freed me. Today, I am God's freed man. Thirdly, for the Jews, it was a time to assemble, to go to the temple to take their special offerings and their sacrifices. I can just imagine that back then, people would tell Moses, well, I like to worship God in nature. I see God in the trees, and I see God in the mountains. And Moses had to tell him, look, God doesn't live in trees, and God doesn't live in mountains. That's pantheism. That's not biblical trust in God. God created those things, but where does God live? God lives in men. It's man that is the image of God, and therefore men are together, and they are to worship God with one voice. Because there is nothing that gives glory to God as much as the oneness of the people that God has created. And then fourthly, the Sabbath for the Jews had a special meaning. It was to evidence total dependence upon God. Now think back to what we said earlier, that the Sabbath was both a day of the week as well as a week in a year or a year out of seven. As a day of the week, if I don't work, I'm not going to get ahead. Well, then I have to trust God that He's going to provide what I might lose during that day. But imagine it, 1 year out of seven, they were commanded not to sow, not to plow, only to harvest. Now, an agronomist would tell us, hey, that's good, smart agriculture. God wrote that into the law. The land needs to recover. But for the individual farmer, he must have said, God, if I do that, where am I going to get my food? And the answer was, trust me. Trust me. I will provide. You obey, then the rest is up to me. For 490 years, approximately, of the history of the monarchy, the Jews never once observed that sabbatical year. It's interesting that in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21, the chronicler said that when God took the Jews out of the land to be slaves in Babylon, that it was for 70 years so that the land could get its Sabbath. You see, you disobey at your own risk. God will get his piece of the action eventually. And he did from the Jews. Some of the Jews despised the Sabbath, and so they cheated. They sold on the Sabbath day. They didn't gather at the temple. They sowed in the Sabbath years. They didn't trust God. So they spent their years in exile. Others delighted in it. It was a day of freedom, a gift from God. I will never forget the image of walking in old Jerusalem, sunset on a Friday evening, and seeing this Hasidic Jew come dancing through the street, singing, "It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. What's coming?" And he said, "Queen Sabbath, she's on her way." It was a party, a joyful celebration. It was a time to be free to worship God. What does all of this have to do with believers today? So the Sabbath has a general meaning for all mankind. It's like the law of gravity. You disobey it at your own risk. And it has a special meaning for God's people, the Jews. And again, you disobey it at your own risk. What about us today? We are not God's people, the Jews. We are Christians, children of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we are. And therefore, the first point is that for us, the Sabbath is not a sign of covenant. There is nowhere in Scripture that the Bible tells us that the Sabbath is a sign of covenant for believers today. In fact, you remember that when we studied through the purposes of the law, that one of the purposes of the law for the Old Testament believer was to perpetuate the covenant. But for us, we are not under the Old Covenant, we are under the New Covenant, which has been established by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not under the Old Covenant, we are under the New. So Sabbath has no covenant meaning for us. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, the Apostle Paul writes, "Let no man judge you in regard to what you eat, or to what you drink, or to the holy days, or feasts, or Sabbath." We are not under the Sabbath law. Then does it have any point for us? Well, yeah. We are still God's created beings, right? We didn't change in that when we became children of God. We still don't disobey the law of gravity by jumping out of trees, at least not without getting hurt by that. And so the creation principle still is a law for us. God has made us with limitations, and we disobey those limitations at our own risk until the curse is reversed. What does that mean? It means we need peace. We need quiet. That weekly we need a time to rebuild, start over afresh. You know why autumn is such a peaceful season here in Houston, Texas? Have you noticed that that first day when the open window weather comes, in fact it may be the only day in Houston, you open up your windows and it is so peaceful. You notice why? Because all of a sudden, every single air conditioner in the whole city stops at once. And you hear the trees with the leaves rustling. Only 10 decibels. First time since last March that you heard them. And you are drawn back to the quiet that brings peace. We begin to rebuild. We have been built with limitations, and we cannot disobey those limitations. The Lord Jesus ministered here only 3 years, and yet Scripture records he had 10 periods of withdrawal for rest. For the Lord Jesus, when God himself was on the earth, there were millions of people who needed his touch, his ministry. And yet, according to Scripture, the Lord Jesus never broke the law of Sabbath. He broke man's accretions, the legalism of the Sabbath. But on the Sabbath day, he took it aside for God. If the Lord Jesus, the God-man, was willing to limit himself to the role that God gave him, how much more do we need to? I learned that myself this last spring, when after a period of years of not taking a day of rest, all of a sudden my body just jerked me back and said, that's all. And I found that I was suffering the effects of the buildup of that time. Now that I have forced myself to take a day a week off, I find that it takes the first part of that day just to get my mind to quit racing so that I can begin to settle down, so that I can begin to rest. And yet I have also found out that even though I am giving less hours to work, I am having more output because I am able to produce more in the time that I have. God has built it with limitations. We are part of creation. But the third purpose of the Sabbath for a child of God is that it points to the Lord Jesus Christ as nothing else can. Why is it that we worship on the Lord's Day on Sunday instead of the seventh day of the week? It's for the same reason that those godly Jews that followed the Lord Jesus changed their day of worship. What in the world could change a Jewish man who had been schooled as a young child never to do anything different on the Sabbath day, and then to suddenly change overnight from the Sabbath to Sunday, from the seventh day to the first? What changed them? You know, don't you? It was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When the resurrection happened, there was something historically that was so startling that it taught them the law has been preempted. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm going to be in their midst. And I don't think it is coincidence that when you read in the New Testament, every appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection to his disciples was on the first day of the week. The Spirit of God came on the first day of the week. The Lord was showing something new has begun. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we read that when the Apostle Paul gathered with the believers at Troas, he had been there for a week. He could have gathered with them on the seventh day, the Sabbath. But instead it says clearly they gathered on the first day of the week to remember the Lord. The failure to do that is the failure to love the Lord as he wants to be loved. Can you imagine your husband, your wife saying to you on your birthday, well, sweetheart, I love you, but some of the gals are getting together to play cards tonight, so I really want you to have a happy birthday, but I'm going to go over there with them, and we're going to play cards. Maybe next year on your birthday, we will do something. Now, I want you to know I love you, but I just don't have time this year. You feel loved? Or how about you, wives? Can you imagine your husband saying on your anniversary, you know, sweetheart, it's really been a great 40 years, But I'm just tired. I had been working this week, and I decided I'm going to play golf. So I want you to have a good time for our anniversary, and next year we'll do something special. But I'm just too tired this year. But I love you. You would say, look, don't love me with your words. Love me with your actions. It's the same with God. He says, I have created a week, and I have provided you all of this need. And I have given you the gift of the rest day as a day for you to enjoy me. Love me with your actions, not with your words. The rest day for the believer has another important point in pointing to Christ. It not only points to Christ as the resurrected Lord, but it points to Christ as the final Savior. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And it's obviously not a day of the week that he's talking about, because He says if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. Well, Joshua did pass along the daily or the weekly Sabbath. But what is this Sabbath rest for the people of God? Verse 10 tells us, "For the one who has entered his rest, God's rest, has himself also rested from his work as God did from his." Just as in the Old Testament days, the Jews set aside the Sabbath to depend upon God, or set aside the Sabbath year to depend upon God. He didn't work. He said, God will provide. In this age, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are saying, look, there is no work that I can do that will add to what God has provided for me in Jesus Christ. And therefore, I'm going to stop depending on my work. And I am trusting Jesus Christ alone for my salvation. And in that, I rest once and for all. To me, it's a little bit like flying. Ever been on an airplane with somebody who is there for the very first time? You can usually tell them because when they sit down, they grab hold of the armrest like this. And as the plane begins to take off, they pull it up off the runway. And they squeeze tight, and they hold on until they start to get tired and they just can't hold on anymore, and they gradually relax their grip, and to their amazement the plane stays up, and they very tentatively sit back with all their weight, and they find out the plane stays up. At first it seems like they have to keep it up. Then they find out that, in fact, the plane is keeping them. It's the same with our reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ. That there is not a work that we can do that will add to what He has done for us. And if He has our whole eternity in His hands, can't He take care of today as well? Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21 says this, "There is no rest for the wicked, says my God. Their hearts are like the mud of the sea, which is constantly tossed up by the wind." In contrast, the Lord Jesus stood up in Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29, and He said, "All you who are laboring and are heavy laden, come to Me, and I will give you rest." That invitation is still open today for those of you who do not know the rest that Jesus wants to provide for your salvation. That you can sit on Him totally because He has paid the total price for your sins and He has done all of the work that will ever please God. You can't add to it and you can't take away from it. All you can do is say, I'm trusting Jesus alone. But that same Jesus wants to take care of us physically as well. He wants us to know the joy of taking aside those rest times to rebuild, to recuperate, to renew our mind, our body, our spirit. Nearness to God is rest. Shall we pray? Father, we confess before You today that we are often weary and heavy laden because we have put on ourselves that yoke of self-dependence. Father, today we want to draw aside physically and spiritually, and place all of our weight upon You, to depend upon You alone, and to depend upon You totally. Lord, if there are those in here this morning who don't know Jesus as Savior, may they find in Him that rest that You've provided. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.